now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, Lord, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
I see understanding arising in our hearts today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All of us, me included. My life is being transformed.
Amen.
Are you saying amen? Okay, my life is being transformed.
I am being changed.
I'm talking about myself. You can use any word for yourself, all right? I am being changed.
I am being lifted.
I am being lifted. I'm not the man I used to be. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. It is bringing out the anointing of God in my life. It's bringing out the deposit of God in my life. It's bringing out manifestation into my environment. It's bringing out sonship out of me and deliverance for the environment in the name of Jesus Christ. The word that is coming today is precious to me. I'm collecting my portion in Jesus' name. All right, sit down, please. Let's open our Bibles. That's why we're here. To hear the word of God, let's see what the Lord will say to us from the scriptures. Let us start from the book of Psalms this morning, Psalm 27. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." He said, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." He now said, in the midst of all of this, when there's trouble, when there's lack, when there's calamity, when enemies are arising, I refuse to be afraid. In the midst of all of these things, verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Let's just read a few more verses. He said, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing here, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me." It said, "When you said," verse 8, "seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me," he says, "over to the desire of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I will have despaired unless I have believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord," he said in verse 14. "Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. The Lord is good. Now, I just decided to finish reading all that portion of the Psalms. But what I just wanted from there was just a few verses. But then, in getting to it, I found out that the two important verses I wanted there were tucked in the middle of the Psalm. So I said, all right, let's just read everything. Now, what are we reading there? Is that when David needed to make requests in the midst of his troubles, you will see the request that was paramount in his heart. In verse 4, he says, one thing I have asked from the Lord. And David said, that is one thing he will seek. And what is that thing? That's in verse 4. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate. Now, I'm using the American standard now. To meditate in his temple. He said, this is one thing I have asked from the Lord. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to meditate in his temple. I am not looking for other things. I am not looking primarily to have my needs met. I am not trying to get abundant prosperity. I want to go into the temple of God and see his face. I want God to reveal himself to me. That's what I'm bringing out here. David said, if you go down to that verse 8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Now, please, what I'm trying to do again, in fact, I've just thought about that. It would be as if I'm repeating myself, but it doesn't matter. Let's do it. Because they say where there's no repetition, the people are not established. We need to go over these things again and again. This is the thing that is important about Christianity. Now, we have been looking at it for some time. Of course, what we're talking about is the pursuit of God. And today I want to speak about that pursuit of eternal life. I need to explain something about that issue of eternal life again today. Now, please follow me closely. Last time, let me just review for a moment. Last two messages here. What we have been looking at is what I will talk about the prophets of God. I just need to explain it again, just for a few moments, especially the aspect of us understanding why we are important to God, why we are important to what is going on the earth. Let me just remind us again. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. If God wants to do something on the earth, he said, I will not do those things until I have gotten the cooperation of my prophets. That is, it is what the prophets prophesy that are in agreement with what I want to do that I'm able to execute on the earth. So Amos said, surely the Lord God does nothing until he first reveals his secret counsels to his servants, the prophets. We've been looking at that point. So these prophets are important. They are very, very crucial to what God does on the earth. And Jeremiah was not correcting us concerning the behavior of prophets. He said prophets must be people who are the people of the inner circle. He said if they had been in my council, and what do they do in the council of God? We've seen that what they do is to behold his plans, to listen to his words. It's only when people have beheld what God is doing, when they have heard his words, when they have received of his spirit, that is when they are able to prophesy effectively. God said, I did not send these prophets, yet they ran with their own message. So many people are out there, they are speaking things that God did not say. And that is why the words of Christians appear as if they are powerless. And there's something I said last time, I need to emphasize it again, please. All right, I'm not preaching all of that prophet's message again. Just to emphasize something that's very important. I said that you have to be careful because this is what happens. They are in the council of God. They are in his inner circles. What do they do there? They are in God's presence so as to soak his nature. It is not as if God is just giving them information. He is transforming them to what he is like. What do I mean by that? Remember the story of Moses. When he will leave the presence of God, his face will be shining. When he will leave the presence of God, he will have absorbed so much of divinity that the air around him will feel it. We said something the other time. I don't know. Okay, let me just refer to something about the Lord Jesus. Okay, the disciples that were with him for a number of years. One day, Peter got up to speak. Peter did not feel particularly anointed. You must get this point. Peter did not feel particularly anointed. It is not as if, oh, today I feel an unction coming up. He just got up to respond to his situation, and he spoke so well, people looked at him. Where did this man get all of this knowledge? They said, oh, they have been with Jesus. That is, the presence of Jesus in their lives affected them even when they did not realize they were being affected. Are you getting my point here? So that when they got up to speak, they released a kind of ability that even they did not know they had, because the presence of God coupled with the release of the Holy Spirit, all right, the presence of the Lord Jesus, had affected their lives. Now, what am I going to say here? That what happens is that the prophets of the inner circle, They begin to see like God. Now, please, let me go on here and explain it. They begin to see like God sees. They begin to interpret things the way God interprets things. There's something I said last time, we must be careful that we don't drink of the negative spirits of the environment. You read too much newspapers, you drink a negative spirit. You tune to urban radio too much, you drink a negative spirit. You tune to Radio Biafra, you drink a negative spirit. You tune to all these freedom fighting, radio stations, you drink a negative spirit. You read too much newspapers, you drink a negative spirit. There is no way you will not drink a negative spirit unless you are focused on the word of God. Are you getting my point here? The Bible said, don't associate with people who are given to change. People are always getting up and fighting for freedom. Don't associate with them. What they are trying to do is pouring a negative spirit into you. The way we Christians achieve what we want to achieve in life is to drink of the Spirit of God. When Daniel wanted to get freedom for Israel, what did he do? He did not go to negotiate with Cyrus. He did not go to negotiate with anybody. He just knelt down and found the word of God and turned that into his prayer. What am I going to say? The solution to everything is in God's word. We must be careful you don't drink the spirits of angry people. You are a married woman. You are having problems with your husband. You go and take counsel from a woman who is divorced. You are taking counsel from a woman whose father beat the mother very much. Now, these are not wicked people. They are just bitter people. Are you getting my point here? When people are bitter, they release a negative vibe into your soul. Please, I need to explain that very much. The Bible says that, we have to explain this very, very well for Christians to understand. It said, guard your heart with all diligence. It is not everybody you allow to speak into your life. Let me say it again. It is not everybody you allow to speak into your life. You don't discuss your matters with everybody because many people, their spirits are poisoned. They are out there. Are you getting my point? You think they mean good, and they actually mean good, they think also. The only thing is that their spirits are poisoned. You get me? So when they speak to you, by the time you're done, all right, you start seeing things with a colored eye, and the color is not the color of God. The other day I was in my office, I was talking we're just talking about some issues. There's one man I know, all right? His ability to, the other day I quarreled with him. I said, you see, you live in your own world you cannot be reasoned with. And this guy is an adult, he's about my age. But I realized that his eyes are colored. If you fall down here, he wants to check who laid the rug and check who the grandfather of the person is. That he knew you are going to walk across here after this particular day. That is why he now said that. Are you getting my point here? Now so people like that, if they talk to you every day, they poison your interpretation of things. They poison your heart. Please be careful. Don't let people poison you. When people poison your ability to see straight, when people poison your ability to interpret life, so that you don't see life the way God is seeing it, they poison your ability to prophesy. We said that last time. Let's be very, very careful. It is so crucial that you keep your spirit pure. Many people sit down morning, afternoon, and night and read newspapers. I said those days, my pastor said something. He came to church one day and kind of apologized to everybody that he realized he had become a Nadeko prophet. And that why did he become a Nadeko prophet? Because he read newspapers every day. And they had colored, that was the time, I don't know how many of you were aware of national events enough to, this was like 20 years ago, 20 years ago, it started this year. So he said that, 97 to 98, that he had become a Nadeko prophet. For that reason, he came to church and announced that henceforth, I'm not reading newspapers, at least for some time. Now, why am I talking about that? This was a man of God seasoned with the word of God. Yet, when he was captured, please, I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, when too many things around we let them fill our faces, we don't see the mind of God anymore. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. We don't see the mind of God. If people around complain to you too much, you will not understand what God wants to do. Listen to me. Wisdom in life is not a matter of natural intelligence. Let me say it again. Wisdom is not a matter of natural intelligence. Let me tell you what real wisdom is. Wisdom is to be able to assess a situation and derive divine counsel from observation. I don't know why you're getting my point here. That is, what is wisdom?
Look at the situation. What do we do? Say, this is what God will want us to do. That is wisdom. Wisdom is not the kind of English you speak. Wisdom is not how many degrees you have in front of your name. Wisdom is not the natural experience you have had in life. That was why Elihu said, the aged are not always wise. He said, multitude of years do not always understand wisdom. He said, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Wisdom is not something you acquire just by age. It is when God breathes upon you and allows you to be able to judge the situation wisely. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. What am I going to say here? So if you like, be seasoned in history, doesn't make you wise. If you like, know the detailed political history of a country like Nigeria, it does not make you wise. You can know all the political history from the First World War till today. From amalgamation of the northern and southern protectorates of Nigeria till today. You can have all the detailed history. And then you come telling me, somebody told me about how Ogbanje spirits gathered to create Nigeria. I've read all kinds of things. How the Mami water spirits, people went and met beneath the ocean and created a country. I didn't care the vision the man said he saw. I said that vision is against scripture. Because you know that the epochs are determined by God. God is the one that creates the kingdoms of man. Those are the things that we know from scripture. He's the one that sets boundaries. I don't care what you were dreaming about. What I'm trying to say is that you can know all the history. If God does not breathe wisdom into you, you are not wise. And many times I read people talking in the newspapers, you hear them on radio. You say, these are foolish people talking. They are old men, but they are foolish. They have degrees, but they are foolish. They have experience, but they are foolish. What is foolishness? Inability to decipher what God wants you to know and do next. That's foolishness. Wisdom is when God breathes upon you. What am I going to talk about here? So the prophets of God, they need to be able to tap into divine wisdom. How do they tap into divine wisdom? That's what I'm going to emphasize. They have to keep their spirits free. What happens is that people, when they have been polluted, I was talking about that last time, I'm going to revise it again today. Like I said last time, their father is angry. Because one man from somewhere stole the girl he wanted to, didn't steal, just outshined him. Two of them, he loved the girl very much. But that guy, for one reason or the other, did better than him in the girl's eyes or her family. 30 years later, he said, my children cannot marry from that village. You don't know why. You think the man is speaking. They will not start, people cook up stories to support what they want to do. You know that. I was reading one. Somebody was talking about election in America. Was talking about campaign. He said, what you campaign with is not really what is not really why people are voting for you. He said, the campaign are the excuses they find to vote for you. That they already want to vote for you. So when you are making all the noise, say the average person just looks at you and decides he wants to vote for you. Everything you say after is the excuse he gives himself. To, I don't know whether you're getting my point. In the same manner, when a man is bitter, is angry, he says, from that village, my children can't marry from there. You don't know what is inside him. You don't know that somebody took a girl he wanted to marry 30 years ago. And is angry. And when I was speaking to his children, I said, do people from that area, they don't brush their teeth in the morning. And that's pressed to their brain. And then you two, you don't know, you now get up and go out and propagate it amongst your friends. People from that village are bad. You don't know that your father is angry. If God were to reveal to you, you say, daddy, but mommy came out very good. Now, what's your problem? What I'm trying to say, people with anger, they come, pour their venom into your spirit. You now start using the anger to interpret things in life. This is a problem. You are now unable to decipher what God wants to show you. Let me say something about the way the prophets of God operate. I said that towards the end of last time's message. They just have, God has transferred the spirit inside them so that they judge the way God judges. We read from the book of Isaiah chapter 11 last time that they imbibe the spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel. That's what God pours into them. When the word spirit comes in the scripture, you have to be careful how you interpret it. It doesn't mean that the man will just be vibrating, vibrating, vibrating. No, it's just an underlying attitude in his heart that is produced. For example, if he has a spirit of love, he easily forgives, easily makes excuses, easily just, you understand, overlooks things. That's the spirit of love working in somebody. It manifests as ease of forgiveness. In the same manner, when somebody has received the spirit of the fear of God, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom, when he just by having that spirit, he reads the newspapers, sees what is going on. That's news now, not analysis, just the news. All right? It comes to a different conclusion concerning what he's seen. The example I gave last time, you hear troubles everywhere. People are afraid who don't have the spirit of Christ because they are expecting calamity on the earth. But those who have the spirit of Christ, they look up, they rejoice. Why? Their redemption draws near. What am I saying? The prophets of God, remember we said it, they are the ones that we utter and God will confirm. They are the ones that we speak and God will bring their speech to pass. But for them to be able to speak, they must have received the spirit of God inside them by interacting with God. That's what we're talking about. Not that somebody lays hands on you and say, receive the anointing, anointing to prophesy. It's coming upon you today. Who wants to be a prophet? Not that somebody will lay hands on you and say, now you're a prophet. No. Actually, what happens is that from what we're talking about, the person just has the mind, the attitude of God. The person has the understanding of the Almighty of a situation. So when he or she speaks, without thinking about it, he's speaking the mind of God. Let me give an example. Now remember Samuel. Samuel was a man who the Bible says not one of his words fell to the ground. Did you notice that? Every time Samuel spoke, it was confirmed. Do you know Elijah, when he told rain to stop falling in Israel, nobody talked to him. God did not talk to him. The Lord didn't say, Elijah, come. He didn't say, now listen to what did not happen. Elijah did not say, the word of the Lord came to me saying, thus I will punish the iniquity of Israel. For they have gone after other gods, and they have offered sacrifices to the idols that are not God. Under different trees. That's Jeremiah. That's Ezekiel. Elijah just came. You people are worshiping other gods, eh? That's how you like it, eh? Okay. I'm coming. Tomorrow I'll be back. If you people are still worshiping other gods, you will see. And today, next day he came back. All right. There will be no rain, no dew in this country, except I say otherwise. You know that kind of thing? That's it. Just pour finger for them. I went and sat down. And the Lord confirmed the word of Elijah. Elijah did not say, thus says the Lord. Elijah just came and said, there will be no rain, there will be no dew, except by my word. Why? He was angry with idolatry. What am I going to say here? You will see that what happened was that Elijah had drunk of God's spirit. Elijah had been in the inner circle. Elijah had understood how God reasoned. Elijah had received the wisdom of God as part of his being. And that was what provoked him to speak. Same thing with Samuel. I am convinced Samuel was a man that knew God. You see, there are different ways people operate. All right? Or the way they operate and they operated. That time, the prophets in Israel were different categories. They were different categories. They were prophets because let me just explain them by different categories. There were two kinds of prophets. Now, just for the purpose of what we're talking about here. There were prophets who did their job effectively. You are going on the road. I suppose a man like Jeremiah was like that. You are going on the road. You, before you were born, I called you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, and the man looked and said, Lord, why do you want to ruin my life? You know I cannot talk. He said, go and prophesy against the kings. Ah, small boy like me. They will imprison me. Are you getting my point? After much talking, the Lord persuaded him to go. He put his word in his mouth, and Jeremiah executed the word of God effectively. That's one kind of prophet. But it's another kind of prophet, like Moses. Moses, before he was born, the Lord knew him also.
Before he was formed in the womb, he was also consecrated to be a prophet. Not to the nations, but to Israel. To deliver them out of Egypt. Okay, fine. Then Moses began to do his job as a prophet when he went down to Israel, down to Egypt, and he called the people out. But you will now notice something along the line. Moses now developed a personal relationship with God, different from a prophetic office. God could speak through Moses. He did not know, didn't mean they had to be friends. Many prophets in Israel were not personal friends with the Lord, but they prophesied effectively. I hope you are getting my point here. That's when you get to the New Testament. You start seeing, not just New Testament, even the Old Testament there. You now notice that when God wanted to speak to Jeremiah, and he wanted to talk about people, he mentioned Moses and he mentioned Samuel. Go and read chapter 15. Jeremiah was praying, and God said, shh, quick, quiet. Even if he were to wake Moses up and recruit Samuel, I still would not listen. What does that tell you? Samuel and Moses were different kinds of people. Do you get my point here? I am persuaded, even Elijah, with all the troubles he had, he was a different kind of person. When God wanted to send people to Jesus later, who did he send? Moses and Elijah. Israel had different kinds of prophets. There were prophets, they came, they did their job, and they went home. They died in peace. Their assignment fulfilled. But amongst those prophets, there were those in the course of doing their work, they developed a very strong relationship with God. I told you before, Daniel, the Jews till today, his book is not listed as one of the books of the prophets in the Jewish Bible. Daniel's book is listed with Esther, is listed with Ezra, with Nehemiah. They are grouped together. They are like historical books of the exiles. Are you getting my point? But when you start talking about prophets, they start with people like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Malachi. Those are their prophets. But Daniel is conspicuously missing as one of the prophets in the canon of scripture of the Hebrews. They add him with people like Esther. Why? They say he did not bring the word of God to them. But the Christians take Daniel and put him as one of the major prophets. So was Daniel a prophet? I really don't know. Let's not argue about it now. Are you getting my point? But one thing you know about Daniel was an angel came to Daniel and said, you are a man of high esteem. He said, you are highly esteemed. I discovered that most of the prophecies that Daniel released were not exactly, how do I say it now? It wasn't like the prophecies of Jeremiah. They were prophecies of Daniel, don't disturb yourself. Let me tell you what's going to happen so you can rest in peace. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Most of them were things like, Daniel, maybe, assume he's a Nigerian, whatever country he's from, he's been praying for the country for 70 years. He's now an old man. And one day he's going to die. And he's concerned that all the things we've been praying for, are they going to happen? And God looked at him and said, ah, this is my fellow. Good man. Good man. He tells an angel, take a scroll, go there and go and show to Daniel so they can relax. And the angel will come, settle down, and show Daniel, in this particular year, this is going to happen. After that, that will happen. Don't worry about this. By that time, you will have rested in peace. You will have been gathered to your fathers. Those are the kind of things that angels told him. Why are you telling me this? He said, in heaven, you are well respected. Are you getting my point here? So the things that, many of those things that God gave him as personal communications, we compile and we read now as the prophecies of Daniel. That's why the Jews didn't call him a prophet. He never came into Israel. After he left as a young boy, he was buried in Babylon there. And in case you did not know, it was his tomb. It's one of the ones that ISIS destroyed recently. You know, when they took over parts of Syria and Iraq, and some of those tombs they were destroying, one of them was the tomb of Daniel. The Muslims claimed them, built shrines around them, and were virtually worshipping around the tombs of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, including this man, Jonah. Those men. So when you hear that ISIS was destroying things, those are the prophets that they were fighting over. The Lord is good. So I'm talking about two kinds of prophets here. So you see, there are prophets who had this
personal relationship with God. And that's what I'm teaching. When we began this, that's what I began to explain. And that's what God wants from you and wants from me. Now, such prophets, the Lord doesn't always tell them, thus says the Lord. But just having been in his counsel, they imbibe his nature. They reason like him, and when they open their mouths in judgment, it's exactly what God wants to happen. Those are the kind of men. But thank God they are very gentle. Otherwise, you don't cross them anyhow. You don't let them open their mouths and speak against you, because God will confirm it. I don't know whether you're following my point here. They are the kinds of people that God spoke concerning. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. They are the kind of people that God specially watches over. Listen to me. You can read my tract. I will only call before God. Potentially, children of God, we are all the same. But each person now decides how much of God he is going to encounter, she is going to encounter. I'm throwing out the call again. God is calling everybody, come close to me. Enough of worrying about what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewith shall we be clothed. Enough of God of breakthrough, God of breakthrough, and my papa. No, I want to be God Father. Are you getting my point? That is, I want a close relationship so that you, what's going to come out of it? When you live and you speak, people won't know, is it God talking or you talking? They ask Paul a question. What do we do about women like this and men like this? Paul said, I prayed. The Lord didn't say anything, but I know why he didn't say anything. He knows I know what to say. He says, so I have the Spirit of God. Let me tell you what you are going to do. And that's what we quote today as scripture. Indeed, it's scripture. Because Paul spoke, having imbibed the nature of God into every fiber of his being. So when he felt about the situation, that was how God felt about the situation. God called many prophets in Israel. Yet, some of them drew so close to him. They drew so close to him that a man like, what is his name? Moses. If you challenged Moses, God got angry. Moses will speak. You know democracy? You know the meaning of democracy? What does it mean? No, fella got it right. They are all crazy. That's what the fella said. Fella said, them all crazy. So it's demonstration of Chris. Yes, that's fella. The Lord is good. Now, what I'm talking about is this. Democracy is not God didn't ordain. Americans make it look like that's the standard of governance in the world today. Government must be democratic. No. In Israel, everybody said, let's go to the left. Aaron, Miriam, and the elders of Israel will say, I think we should go to the left. Wait, when Moses comes, we'll tell. Moses will just come. All right, they say, left. He said, no, we're going to the right. And he starts going away. He said, but Moses, he said, I said we're going to the right. But we have deliberated for 2 days. You are just coming. You didn't listen to us. Moses said, look, I'm tired. I want to sleep. Meanwhile, tomorrow morning, we set off for the right. In case you have forgotten, Miriam was not his mate. You know the way we talk about mate. When he was a baby that they could still keep in a basket, Miriam was big enough to plot with his mother. She was the one that kept there, watching the basket. When Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket, she was the one that came out and said, do you want me to get you? I mean, that was a big girl. She was a smart girl, so she definitely was not less than 8 or 10. Possibly a teenager. Now, elder sister. Egbo. Original senior sis. Are you getting my point here? Yet, Moses expects to talk, and it's final. So, now she provoke. That was why she felt like, what is going on here? Don't forget, Aaron was on the same family, was an older brother. Of the three of them, Moses was the youngest. Read your Bible. These young boys have been causing trouble for a long time. In the house of David, who was the youngest? David. Thank you. In the house of Jacob, Joseph had only one younger brother. You get my point? Everybody else was older than him, apart from that little boy.
Ibi Benjamin.
So you cannot, these young boys, they've been causing trouble for a long time. And that is why the trouble commences. And if it's God that started it, you go and anoint small boys when they are senior boys.
So the small boys will talk, and the senior ones don't understand.
What am I talking about? That's what happened to Aaron and Miriam. And Moses talked. And two of them said, is he the only one that God talks to? After all, we are all children of God. That one, God was angry. Instantly, the presence of God appeared. And God just respected the office of Aaron. And he didn't touch him with judgment that day. But as soon as the presence of God lifted, Miriam was leprous. Why? When Moses prayed, he said, you know what God said? What kind of nonsense is this? And he said, there are two kinds of prophets in Israel, God said. There are prophets my word will come to. They will dream. They will see visions. He said, but not with Moses. With Moses, we hold conversations. That's what he said. He said, so when you see people who hold conversations with God, don't just challenge them and stick out your chest. That chest may burst open in that process. Now, I'm trying to tell you, look, listen. What I'm doing, I'm trying to build a quest in the hearts of people of God. And you see, God called Moses, yes. But Moses' desire, what was the desire of Moses in everything? Let's read it. Exodus chapter 33. Now, let's just start from verse 7. Where I'm going is the end, but I want to just give a small background. The Bible says that now Moses used to take the tent and pitch outside the camp. This was not, now listen, this was not the tabernacle. It had not yet been built at this time, all right? Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. That was where he used to go and meet the Lord. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about, whenever Moses went out of the tent, that all the people will arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance, and the Lord would speak with Moses. So can you see that kind of relationship? And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, and all the people will arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Are you seeing that? When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Now, Moses was now praying for the people. He said a lot of things. For time's sake, I'm not going to read all of it. Let's now go down to verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken. I've seen where I'm going. For you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Then Moses said in verse 18, I pray you, show me your glory. Now, why I'm reading this is that this is a man who already saw that God used to speak to him face to face. Like the Bible says. Now, of course, that was not like facing each other, but they used to have a conversation. He will talk, the Lord will respond. He will hear the Lord, he will respond. All right? And that's what the Lord referred to later on when he was speaking to Aaron and Miriam. But this person that had this kind of relationship with God, now look at his prayer, verse 18. And the Lord said, then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. Now, I don't know whether you're getting my point here. He was already hearing God clearly. But the man was not satisfied. We know he never saw God. Are you getting my point? Even though they said they spoke face to face, but it was like, what they mean by face to face, that they were having a conversation. We know he never saw God because of what the Lord said after here. But I'm trying to bring out that this was the quest of this man's heart. Having seen all the miracles that he saw, he personally worked these miracles. He was the God, in quotes, that worked the miracles. God himself said to him, you will be God to Pharaoh, and your brother, Aaron, will be your prophet. He's the one, God will tell him, take this and do like this, throw dust into the air, he will throw dust into the air. Strike the Nile, he will do, turn to blood. He did all of these things. He spread his hands over the waters, divided the Red Sea.
struck the rock, water came out. What had this man not seen at this particular point in time? Yet, the man was not satisfied. So he asked the Lord simply, show me your glory. And he said, the Lord said to him, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious. Now, that's the name of the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, that the Lord said, you cannot see my face. So we know he wasn't seeing the face, even though they said they used to speak face to face. For no one can see me and live. But you know what that tells you? That means that was what Moses was asking for. I don't know whether you got that point. When he said, show me your glory, that was what Moses was asking for. Say, this one that you're always speaking behind the screen. Remove this screen. Let me see who's there. God said, Moses, you want to die? Moses, you want to die? He said, Moses, forget it. Nobody can see my face and live. So we are going to work on an arrangement. You want to see me, right? Moses said, yes, no problem. I will hide you. Then I will pass. Then you look behind and see me pass. But you cannot see me approach. If you do that, you die in the process. You will melt. You know, it's like you go into the center of a nuclear reactor. You will melt. So let's not let that happen. We still need you to work with these people. But I'm bringing out this one out here to let you know what was pushing this man. That was his desire. So God now said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, verse 21, you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. That is, you will feel my hand lift you. Then I will cover you with my hand. God was going to allow Moses to feel him. He was literally going to feel God take him and put him in the cleft of the rock. And then that hand will cover him. What would you have? Just like a dark cloud there. Until I have passed by. Notice verse 23. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Now, listen, let's just go on to what really happened. Now, you see, verse 5, the number of things that happened then, just trying to save time. Chapter 34, now verse 5, just the next chapter. Then the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed. Now, listen to this. The Lord himself passed by and proclaimed. God was not the one declaring his own name. We are in verse 5. Verse 6. So what did the Lord do? The Lord proclaimed his own name. What did he say? He said, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Who keeps, now this is the name of God. Who keeps loving kindness for thousands? Who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin? Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, and on the children to the third and fourth generations. Moses at this point made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. He now said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your own possession. Then the Lord answered him, verse 10, behold, I am going to make a covenant. He said, before all your people, I will perform miracles, which have not been produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations. And all the people among you who live will see the working of the Lord, for it is a fearful thing that I'm going to perform with you. Let me just stop here. Now, why am I reading this? These are the lessons we are taking from there. This man desired to know God, even though he had worked for God, even though he had opened many branches of churches. I'm trying to modernize it. Even though he's a bishop, at this point, he was a bishop. Even though he had done a lot of work for the Lord, but he understood that I do not yet have the kind of relationship with him that my heart really craves for. And then he asked, Lord, I want to see you. And when he said he was going to see the Lord understood something. That what the man really wanted was not going to come to him by the physical, you know, side of God that he sees, but by a revelation of the name of God. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Now, what was he saying? Moses, I am going to give you an understanding of who I am. You will notice something. As soon as God finished speaking, Moses immediately bowed down and offered a prayer. I don't know whether you're following that. Moses instantly bowed down and offered a prayer. Why did he offer a prayer? Because he discovered the nature of God. Let me say something about faith again. Faith is not, I am stubborn in what I have desired and I won't change my mind. Faith is not, I have told God it is this much and I am not going to change my mind. Listen to me, many people are just stubborn. They were stubborn as children. Their father couldn't correct them. Nobody could talk to them. Many people are obstinate. That's the word I'm looking for. They are just obstinate. Once they fix their mind on something, you can't change their minds. Then you teach them about faith. And they say, I am believing God for healing. And what do they mean? I have made up my mind I'm collecting healing. And I'm going to collect it because I'm a stubborn man. Some people will try to explain to them that healing may not be the will of God. And they will refuse to accept. And you will think they have faith. Because it is right for you to refuse to accept somebody telling you that healing is not the will of God. Because they are wrong, actually. Scripture is on your side. But this man doesn't agree, but not for the reason you are thinking of. His reason is what? He's stubborn. He's obstinate. He cannot be corrected. When he's wrong, that's how obstinate he is. It is just like they say, even a bad clock is correct twice a day. You know that?
Yes.
If your clock is not working, two times in a day to give you the correct time. In the same manner, an obstinate man will appear like he has faith a lot of times. If what he's obstinate about actually is in agreement with the word of God. But it is not faith. It's not faith. Faith is not the ability to be stubborn. Faith is not, I am persuaded about what I'm saying. Many people are persuaded about what they are wrong about. What is faith? Please go and listen to our series again. Total Faith, The Pursuit and the Use of Faith. Those two series. I talked about faith there, but let me just bring out something here. Faith is simply a relationship. I don't know whether I get my point. Let's talk about this healing matter. Faith is not, I desire healing. No, that's not what faith is. Faith is, I know God, the Father of the Lord Jesus, and I have read the document he sent to us. And in that document, he said, Jesus died for our healing. Even though I don't appear so obstinate and hard in faith, in the name of Jesus, I believe. No, no. It's just a simple persuasion. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Something I know. And that's what faith is. Actually, that thing is a tangible substance in the realm of the spirit. It doesn't say much about whether you are stubborn or you are not. Do you get my point here? Have you noticed that many times people who know something and they are sure of it, they are so calm when you argue with them. They are convinced. They don't even want to answer you. Okay, now if you like it like that, leave it. But the man knows what he's saying. He is so sure of it, not because he knows how to be stubborn, but because he just knows what he's talking about. In the same manner, when I have a relationship with the Lord and I know him very well, it builds a natural faith in my heart. I'm not trying to believe God. I don't know what I get the point here. I just know the character of God, and that knowledge of the character of God produces confidence in my heart. So nobody is trying to persuade me, believe.
This believe that somebody is trying to persuade you is actually a result of a gap in knowledge, a gap in the relationship. If you have to come to my wife and explain to her that, no, your husband is not like that. No, that's not what he meant. You know there's a problem in our relationship. Why should you be the one? And most of the time, you know you are lying to her. You are lying. You are just trying to make peace. He said he's going to kill me. He won't kill you. Meanwhile, in your heart, hey, this guy is a real wicked man. Let's move this girl away before he kills somebody. So when they come to you and they're trying to tell you what your husband is like or your wife is like, it shows that the two of you have a wide gap in your relationship. Otherwise, it should be the one that says that, listen, if my husband says he's not coming back, trust him, he won't come back. Persuasion, which is born out of relationship. That is what faith is. If you know God enough, faith is an automatic addition to your life. It is not something you try to get. Somebody is trying to tell you, believe. It's just proving to you that your relationship with him is not strong enough. There's a wide gap in your relationship. I'm going somewhere. What happened to Moses? Once God revealed himself to Moses, suddenly Moses understood the character of God and he brought his prayer point up rapidly. Before, God had said, I won't go with you people and all of that. Then God now said, I am God, the merciful God. He said, in that case, you are going to change your mind about going with us. I don't know whether you get the point. So he said it, he was convinced. So that prayer was, listen to this, a prayer of faith. You cannot pray a prayer of faith if you don't have relationship. You can't pray a prayer of faith if you don't understand God enough. The longer the prayer, the less of him you understand. If you want to make a request to God and you are there for a long time asking, then you don't understand him well enough. If you did, you will know the right words to speak. Now, what am I talking about here? You will see that what happened to Moses, when he asked the Lord, show me your glory, and said, this guy wants to see my face. And the Lord said, no. Then the Lord came with him and gave him a revelation, an understanding, a knowledge of what he really is like. And God understood that that's what Moses wants. Let me give an example. They came to Jesus and said, show us the Father. Philip said, show us the Father. You know what Jesus said? What did Jesus say? That was what he said. Thank you. Jesus, look, what? Show you the Father? You have been with me all this while. You are still asking me to show you the Father. You know what Jesus was saying, in effect? It is not the physical structure you see that matters. It is the knowledge of the character of the person that is called seeing the Father. Do you get my point here? So he said, how could you have been with me all this while? You are still saying, show us the Father. You've seen the way I react when things are this way, that's the Father. You've seen the way I talk, that's the Father. You've seen the way I react when there is a storm on the sea, that's the Father. You've seen the way I react with compassion to those who are dead, that they are relatives, that's the Father. You saw what happened when Lazarus was dead, that's the Father. Say, what else do you want to see in the Father that you have not seen in me? What am I saying? When people relate with God, it is not the physical structure of God they end up beholding. It is the nature and the name of God they come to personally understand. And this is what I'm making. When they get to that point, knowledge spiritually is not intellectual information. It is an impartation of supernatural ability. What I mean is this. Now, this looks like a big illustration. But there's a way you will understand the God of creation. You will tell the sun, I rise from the other side, not the east this morning. Now, like I said, that's a wild... Are you getting my point? God wouldn't want you to do that. In fact, when you know him enough, you will know not to do that. Because you know you're going to scatter too many things that you now have to control, since you are the one that moved the sun. Now, listen. You know, Joshua was also like Moses. You know that? We read it just now. Joshua didn't used to leave that presence. He may not have attained to the level Moses attained, but we saw he had that kind of heart. And I'm convinced that was why he looked at the sun and told the sun, stand still. And the sun did.
Listen, there's a way you get to know God. That's what I'm trying to explain. That, you know, that also happened that Samuel, any word he uttered, God confirmed. Any word Samuel uttered, God confirmed. Listen, let's read about it. Open to John chapter 17. Now, why did I bring up this matter? This was a drive of a man's heart who has seen all kinds of miracles. There was something that this man said some time ago. I went to Benin. He came to Nigeria. What's his name? Benihin. Benihin said that the 24 elders around the throne will shout, "Holy, holy, holy." You see in the Revelation, angels will shout, "Holy, holy, holy." He said, "What are they shouting holy for?" According to him, that each time they see a side of God they did not know before, they will shout, "Holy." God will reveal himself in a new way. They will shout, "Holy." And now he said, "What are you talking about?" I'll tell you. Please go and listen to our series, The Seven Names of God. We talked about it there. Every time, listen to this carefully. Every time you understand God in an area, you seize control over life in that area. I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. Once, see, knowing God is not, like I told you, forget all this. I know 17 Hebrew names. Those are when we're in school. They talk about the 12 names of God. Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Rofeka, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah, we had about 12 of them. When I began to learn the scripture, I realized that God doesn't have 12 names. David Pawson said there are 215 names that Jesus alone was described with in the Bible. 250. Here, what did God call himself? The compassionate. One of his names is jealous. If you know the way God's names are, God's name is beginning, that's a name. End, that's a name. Mercy, that's a name. Judge, that's another name. Creator is a name. The God that delights in the prosperity of his servant, that's a name. Not a sentence, that's a name. The God that makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children, that's a name. The God that visits iniquity, that's a name. Please, I hope you're getting my point. There are no 12 names. There are no 12 names. There are names of God that this earth cannot receive. And anybody living on it cannot understand. There are names that when you arrive in heaven, you give you through lecture. Now, the name you are going to use for the next 1,000 years is this. So what are you talking about? You guys on earth couldn't comprehend this. This is how we talk to the stars here. When God tells you, move those stars, you don't shout at the stars. Ha, 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 ha. You don't bark at the stars. You invoke a name of the Almighty at the stars. That is why they dissolve in your presence. When the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that's what it means. It doesn't mean, save me, save me, save me, I'm falling. No. There is a name he bears when you're about to fall. Anybody who calls on that name, the Bible says, will be saved. What am I saying? No, one of our brothers said something once. It's such a powerful illustration for what we're talking about. He lives in Abuja. I used to attend a fellowship. I want Christians to take a lesson from this. So he goes to this particular fellowship, okay? And amongst the men in the fellowship, these are men that they want to choose. The president wants to replace the service chiefs. These are retired military men. And the president will call them for a meeting. So that's the fellowship was attending. So he's a young guy, you know. So the young men, the old men, okay, he does all the work, you know. Those are young boys, and the other guys are old men, you know. So he now says something. So this particular man, very influential man, we tell him, "Oh boy, see me." So maybe he wouldn't go. Why? Because he's busy. So later he will see the man. The man said, "I told you, I thought you were supposed to see me last week." The man will say, this young brother will say, sorry, sir. And what happened was that I had to go here, I had to go there, I had to go there. So the man looked at him at one day. He said, "What is running up and down that you're running up and down? Do you know if I make a phone call, you get everything you're looking for?" The man just looked at this. How can this small boy be foolish like this?
told this guy that, look, what are you looking for running up and down? If I pick my phone and make a phone call, everything you are running for, running to look for, everything will come and meet you. So he was trying to explain to the young man that, look, stop running up and down. If I tell you to see me, you should be rushing to me, not rushing up and down. Even though our brother had a different set of values and all of that, okay, there's a way you apply all of these things. If he asked me, I said, no, don't run to him. Go about your business, okay? I mean, as Christians, we have to be careful. We have to be very, very careful. But it's a perfect illustration about life. Many of the things we're running up and down for, God said, if only you discovered my name in that area, those things will run to you. He said, you can learn business principles morning, afternoon, and night. But if I reveal myself as, not that you read it in the Bible, but that the Bible became alive to you, and you say, God that giveth the power to get wealth, that's the name. If that name becomes real to you, they will bring wealth to your house. That wealth will wake up in the morning, in quotes, and come to your doorsteps. One of the things I've learned that thing about people running up and down for money. Listen, I was reading, I read Roland Barthes, Angels on Assignment. Then I heard Sadhu Sangha Savaraj, all right? He also said the same thing. He said once he was praying, and he told the Lord that he was praying and he had a vision. And the Lord asked him, what are you looking for? And he was supposed to start a TV station that used to broadcast the gospel. And it's going to cost him, he asked the Lord, maybe it would be like $20 million. So the Lord said, you don't need that much. And he revised everything and said, okay, I'm sorry, it's supposed to be 15 million. And the Lord turned to an angel beside him and said, make sure he gets the money. That is, the angel's job is mobilize funds. I first read that from this man long ago, Roland Barthes, Angels on Assignment. He said, I woke up one night and his house was full of angels. And he said, what is going on? And one of them said, we have come to do warfare for your finances. Do you get my point here? So you realize that money is not who is fast, who is sharp, who is slow, who is... No. There are spiritual forces that control it. So when God wanted to say, speak through Moses, he said, it is the Lord that giveth the power to create wealth. That is, there is a way you will see the face of God. God will just tell you something about himself, and that thing becomes your strength. The knowledge of God in spiritual things is not intellectual recognition of things. It's not intellectual information. That is how God delivers spiritual power. You can't pray effectively until you understand God. That's why, listen, it was when I was preaching in Makurdi last Sunday, I said something that struck me again. That Paul said, I am doing my share in what is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus. And I was like, what do you mean something is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus? I've preached from it again and again, but last Sunday just struck me. What was Paul saying? No matter what Jesus has done, if people don't know about it, it doesn't have any value. So what is lacking in sacrifice? Therefore, I labor to inform people about what he has done. What am I going to say? I realize now that my job as a preacher, and if you're a preacher, you're listening to this, note it. Your job is to say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. Many Christians are praying, the prayers have no answer. Why? There's no understanding of God backing it. They are praying for a country that they believe is arranged by chance. Are you getting my point? They are praying for a country that somebody told them was not started by God. They are praying for, so they pray morning, afternoon, and night, and there is no effect. Let me tell you something, in quote, now listen to this. I want to use the word worry now, in quote. I'm not disobeying scripture, but I just want to use the word. You should be worried about what you don't know. What I mean is this. Be worried about the part of God you don't understand. Because that is the area of life where you are powerless. That is the part of life where you are walking blindly. You're walking blindly in that area you don't know. Many times we pray morning, afternoon, and night, but there is no effect. Why? We don't understand God in that area. And listen, that's why God always had to teach people about himself. The revelation of the person of God is what is most important that God is delivering to his people. Look at the way Nigerians were shouting, Southerners shouting about Boko Haram, Islamic headsmen. They were asking for arms, mobilization of arms and all of that. And Christians were joining the shout. There's a way we will kneel down on such matters. Listen, we can fight. Maybe later again we'll talk about when on Tuesdays. We should get back to the matter of fasting and praying. For Christians to understand. There's a way you fast and pray. The time in which you consecrate yourself aside and say, Lord, which part of you don't we understand why we are suffering like this? At a point in time, the Lord will just suddenly show himself as the man of war. That is, when that revelation of man of war comes to you, they will say, Islamic headsmen are coming to attack your village. You will say, please, I'm tired, I need to sleep. When they come, wake me up. That's how you will respond. Why? Because the understanding of Jehovah, the man of war, has hit you. So you wake up and they'll say, hey, there's trouble outside. You just wake up and yawn. You say, Jehovah is a man of war. And he has covered me with his feathers. You go back to sleep. And there is nobody that will be able to enter that household. Spiritual knowledge. Listen. That's what they call revelation. We use the word revelation like, no. When we say revelation, that means that you get so convinced and acquainted with the truth. Do you get what I'm going to say? You are so convinced and acquainted with the truth. When you hear that it is the Lord that giveth the power to get wealth, until you see his face clearly in that area, you won't go to any business school. No, but because many people go to business school and they want to go and learn how to make money. You say, no. I will go to a business school to learn how to interact with ignoramuses. But how to make money, I won't learn it from there. And I'm not joking about it. So they say, go to business. You ask them for what now? Why? So that I can run this. No. I can go there to learn the laws of a country because you have to operate within the laws of a particular nation. I can go there to interact with people. I can go there to help. But it's like to go and learn how to do business and make money, you say nonsense. I do that in my bedroom. I do that in my closet. What do you do in your closet? I discover the face of my God. And if he reveals his face to me, that's why I said, when you said, seek my face, I said, you know when God says, seek my face, you know what it means? It doesn't mean I want to see you. It means, oh boy, you are stagnated because of ignorance. When God says, seek my face, it means your troubles are all because of what you don't know. When he says, seek my face, it means you are just running up and down in blindness because there is a part of me you don't understand. So every time there's a problem in your life, he says, seek my face. And the moment David heard that, his body responded to the word of God. I said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Why is the face? That tells you what Moses was looking for. That's when he took face literal. Lord, where is your face? God said to Moses, if you try that one, you will die. But I know what you want. I know what you really need. What is what you really need? The revelation of my name. So when he says, seek my face, what was he saying to David? Seek the revelation of my name. And I said, Lord, that's what I will pursue. That's why I said, I will enter the sanctuary and meditate until I know what God is called. No, go back there. Psalm what? That's where we began from today. Psalm 27. That's verse 8. He said, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. What was David saying? God, don't hide the knowledge of your character from me. Let me know you for who you are. Don't let me walk around in blindness. I was talking about faith. Faith is not stubborn, an obstinate heart that's made up its mind what he wants. She has made up her mind what she must get. That's not what faith is. Faith is that when I understand God. Listen. When Elisha was on the mountain, and the soldiers surrounded the mountain, and the servant was running up and down, and Elisha was not perturbed. Do you think it was because he had faith? I don't know whether I get my point.
He had that kind of faith. I don't know what I mean by that kind of faith. And just stubbornly, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Why should I be afraid? Am I not a man of God? No, that was not what happened. What happened when they said soldiers are around? One of two things must have happened. One, either he understood that the angels were around him from experience, from different encounters, or from a word God had given him, or he saw them. One of two things. His servant was disturbed because of lack of knowledge. His servant was not disturbed because he liked to be disturbed. It was simply because he did not know what his master knew. Do you get the point?
Yes.
So how did the master save it? Save the situation? He prayed to the Lord. Lord, let me just paraphrase now. Lord, show him your face. Okay. Do you get my point here?
Yeah.
He said, Lord, open his eyes. The man's eyes were open, and he saw chariots all around the mountain. So did he continue to be afraid?
No.
What happened? He calmed down. Instantly, he calmed down. Do you know if at that point in time you arrested them and took them away, they would not be afraid?
Yes,
because the soldiers still came up. What I'm trying to say is that the soldiers did not, they were not killed. Elisha just came to them. Who are you looking for? The angels, they have different manifestations. What happened? That they blinded them. They saw Elisha and did not recognize him. I can imagine his servant was following him gladly. Who are you looking for? God said, who are you looking for? You know the way we do. Elisha said, who do you seek? He said, oh, God said, who do you seek? You know, they deaf. Why was all that braggado? What he had what? Seen. None of these noise I've been making and praying and shouting, we have seen nothing. That's every little noise we are disturbed. Dollar is 500, we are disturbed. If it gets to 1,000, a man will just die in this country, we are disturbed. Every little calamity, we are disturbed. Every little negative news you hear, you are disturbed. It's those who think that it's human beings that are ruling, that it just, you know, they are afraid of every little thing. But those who know who the real ruler is, they are not afraid. If at that point in time you arrested Elisha and his servant, they would not have been afraid anymore. They would just know that there must be a reason why God is allowing them to take us. But of course, what did God do? He blinded those men. That was a manifestation of angelic presence. He took them to the midst of Samaria. They did not even know they were in the midst of enemy territory. And they got to the king of Israel, the northern tribes of Israel. And they said, of course, the king was surprised. What is going on here? He said, these are the men. He said, my master, should I kill them? He said, kill them. Even when you capture prisoners of war, do you kill them? He said, no. This one that have not come to you peacefully. You now want to kill them. What do I do? Give them food. So they prepared the table before them in the presence of their enemies. Thank God those guys were not Pentecostals in Nigeria. You know what would have happened? They would have died by fire. But of course they did not die. What happened? They prepared a table before them. They ate, they drank, and they went back home and reported what happened. After that, the Syrians never... They did not come back. Listen, there's a way God will deliver you. Enemies won't come back again.
Amen.
When the so-called Islamic headsmen are coming, when they are coming, they will bring gifts. Say, please, we want to eat. Our cattle want to graze from here to there. Where is the Igwe? Do you want two cattle? How many do you want? They will dash him cattle. They will come there and shake hands and laugh. And the country will be very peaceful.
Amen.
That's what happens when God reveals his face. Do you get my point here?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what happens when God reveals it. So let's read this particular scripture and then I can close. John chapter 17. Remember I said I want to talk about what? The pursuit of eternal life. And that's what I've been talking about. John chapter 17. Look at the way the Lord Jesus prayed. That is verse 1. Jesus spoke these things and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all you have given him, he may give eternal life. God wants to give eternal life to us, so he put eternal life in Christ Jesus, and Jesus came to give us eternal life. And then he now said, what is eternal life? Verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's all I want to read. Let me just read that one in the New Living Translation, verse 3. It said, this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. What is the way of eternal life? Is to know God. What is the way of receiving eternal life? It's to have the revelation of God in your face all the time. God is vast. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You cannot fully know him completely. But each time, in an area that you need life, he reveals himself. For that reason, what do we pursue? That knowledge of God. This is the kind of knowledge that comes. Please, let me introduce this and I close with it. I need to talk about the opening of the inner ears now again. I talked about it briefly before. This is not the kind of knowledge that comes because you have a PhD in theology. There are many people that have read the Bible up and down, yet their ears are dull. Their eyes have been blinded. They cannot see eternal life. Are you getting my point here? It is possible to know the scripture, the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelations. You can recite it off head and not understand the Lord. It is possible. The Pharisees knew this, all the scriptures about the Messiah. When the Messiah arrived, they killed him. So please, be afraid of natural knowledge. It's terrible. These people knew. They said, where would the Messiah be born? Were they not the ones that Herod called? And they told Herod, this was going to happen. They knew the scriptures concerning those things. Yet when the Messiah manifested himself, they were the champions of kill him. As a body, they did not believe. Few of them recognized him. That's why I talk about opening the inner ears. Because there are two levels to perception. There is a first level in which you understand the letters. But there's a second level in which God now causes those letters to make meaning spiritually to you. That second one is a gift. It is not the number of times you read the Bible, even though that may open you up for the gift. It's not the number of hours you listen to a message, even though that may cooperate in opening you up for the gift. But that one is a gift that God imparts into your life. What I'm talking about today is when you show him that you value it. I like one thing Bishop Oyedepo will say. He said, your sense of value determines the flow of virtue to you. And that is where most people don't get it. A man wants a visa to go abroad because he believes that prosperity is in America. He believes that prosperity is in Canada. He believes that prosperity is in Europe, somewhere, you know, Great Britain. For that reason, he starts laboring. Today, he starts reading, assuming he's a professional, for their exams. He starts doing everything to prepare himself to get a visa. He's laboring for a visa that Donald Trump can wake up tomorrow and cancel. Do you get my point? That is, it perishes. But there is one. Jesus said, labor for the one that endures to what? To endure to what? No, I didn't hear you well. Labor for the food that does what? Endure to eternal life. That is, labor to understand God. What is the way of eternal life? To know God. So what was Jesus saying? It takes labor. I don't know whether you caught that. That is, they found that Jesus was going somewhere. What did they do? They entered boats and went to overtake him. So he said, this is labor. He said, but for what? For food. He said, no, you should have used this labor to go after knowledge. That's where we're going. That is, listen, I am convinced more than ever before that the power of God is not manifested. There are two steps. One, because you don't believe. But why don't we believe? Because our ears are deadened.
We don't have knowledge. We don't have understanding. We don't understand the face of God, so we are not able to kindle our faith to draw his power down. Listen, the Bible says something like this, that God hides sound wisdom for the upright. Are you getting my point? Yes. But my emphasis is hide. Listen, God said to David, seek my face. What did David say? Your face, O Lord, will I do what? Will I seek? That is, God does not come up showing his face. I don't know whether I get my point. He doesn't come showing his face. He will tell you, he will tell it to you, you need to seek my face. And he came to tell you that. Why didn't you just show me your face? God said, no, you need to display your sense of value. I'll talk about it later. There are many things. Look, there was a time when God wanted to try me on something. And it worked. I've been complaining. I needed kinetic messages. I needed messages. So one day I went online. And I'm like, what is all of this? If I need a good wristwatch, I pay good money for it. You know, everybody looking for something that is free. And Pastor Banky has joined to spoil Christians. Somebody said worldwide. Now, I don't regret what we do. In fact, I got a mail from Kenya just about 2 days ago. The man said, look, our true service of God series, said the thing for him has been a tremendous blessing. He said that you made it available for free download. I am humbled. That was from Mombasa, Kenya. So I'm happy. I'm very happy. And I, believe me, I have no regrets. No regrets. None whatsoever. What are we selling? What are we selling? What are we selling? What are we selling? Why should I sell it? Okay, so that I'm not even talking about me. All right? But I want to talk about something. So there was a time, anytime you go there, you need to get messages. Pay money. So one day I asked myself, Banky, what's your problem? Do you want the messages or you don't? I said, I want it. Then pay the money. So I gathered Kenehige messages and Jack Hayford messages. And I called my friend in the U.S., please. I tried to pay from Nigeria. It didn't work. So I called him, pay for me. Now, I can't remember the cost. Whether it was $50,000 for Kenehige and $50,000 for Jack Hayford or $50,000 for both of them, I can't remember. So it was either $50,000 or $100,000 I paid. And how many messages? How many? Please just help me gather them and send. So he gathered them for me and sent to Nigeria. When God saw that, Sir Banky, now I know you are serious. Then Chima walked in and gave me all the Kenneth Hagin messages Kenneth Hagin ever preached. Free of charge. Can you see? But I'm sure the Lord just waited and said, you've been running. I said, wait, Banky, all this one you are saying. Did I give you money? Yes. If it is shoe you want to buy, will you pay? Yes. In fact, forget shoe. If it's a car, won't you buy it? Yes, you will buy it. So why will you not be willing to pay money for it? Thank God for people that make it free. Thank God for the Roman road. But sometimes God just demands, show me your sense of value. The word will not always come to you convenient. That's why I have never, there are things I don't do. Sometimes you come for Bible study, me Bible study is not full. I said, where is everybody? They said, UEFA Cup final. I just stopped short of saying anybody that missed Bible study to watch that cup, may his prosperity be postponed for 6 years. I almost say it because it is the most stupid thing on earth that a Christian can do. What is in cup football? 22 overpaid adults and their equally overpaid coach running up and down after a ball, which they have been doing forever. And you will miss where God says, seek my face. No, let's not be silly. Let me end my message here. Listen, we must do what? Pursue eternal life. Listen, Christians, time to learn to wake up when everywhere is quiet. Time to learn to take a holiday. 2 weeks, you're not doing WhatsApp chat, you ain't doing Facebook, and say, Lord, I have come to seek your face. Listen, many of the things you are afraid of in life is because the face of God is hidden in that area. Honestly, tell Elisha, we are going to Sambisa Forest. Do you think he'll be afraid? Why? He will remember the chariots that surrounded the mountain. Tell his servant, go with your master. After that experience, he wouldn't be afraid. Does it mean they will not die there? We don't know. But if they die there, they will know that God said time to die here. But do you know the truth about life? If God called you and said, oh boy,
Tomorrow I'm going to kill you. You won't be afraid. Once you're sure it's the one. What you don't want is this accidental day. Just die. Nobody's expecting you to die. Just die. Those are the ones. If God said tomorrow, you are going. You know what you will do? Lord, can I make some requests? For my wife, this. For my children, this. For this work, this. For this work, this. All the things I want you to do for us. And if you are sure it's God, the Father of the Lord Jesus, believe me, there will be no one iota of fear in your life. There will not be one iota of fear. Go and read the story of Moses and Aaron. God told them, you bring Aaron before me. Remove his garments. He will die when you do that. When he got there, Moses said, yeah, Aaron, give it to me. He removed the garment of Aaron. Aaron dropped dead. There's a way you handle that. Look, listen. A true believer that has seen the face of God is not afraid of death. It can't be. I don't know whether I get my point. Imagine they are stoning you to death and God is showing you visions of heaven. I don't know whether I get my point. That's who? Stephen. Stephen afraid of death? Which kind of death fear is that one? I'm seeing the Lord Jesus. I have just seen that this, at that point in time, I hope you understand. At that point in time, everything physical looks empty. All the big houses, they look empty. The temple looks empty. Once you see the face of Jesus, every other thing will lose value. Let me stop it here. I hope you learned something today. We'll continue on the pursuit of eternal life next time. Let's bow down our heads. Say, Lord, thank you for that dose of eternal life you have placed inside me. If you're blessed today, give me an amen.
Amen.
Tell somebody, say, seek his face. That is where it is. Seek his face.
That is where it is.
Say, all the solutions,
they are in his face.
All the solutions to every challenges of life, they are in his face. Say, seek his face.
Take the time
to seek his face. Let's just give the Lord thanks now. And we'll say, Lord, we thank you. I declare to you that the face of God will be clear to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I like that blessing that God gave Moses to give the children of Israel. He said, say to Aaron and his sons, thus you will bless the children of Israel, and I'm blessing you with it. The Lord will bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord will make his face shine upon you, and he will be gracious unto you.
Amen.
That's why I remember it. He will make that face shine upon you, and he will be gracious unto you.
Amen.
He will make his face clear to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Confusion will not be your portion.
Amen.
I said confusion will not be your portion.
Amen.
In the time of affliction, you will see the chariots of God.
Amen.
They will surround your bed.
Amen.
They will surround your house.
Amen.
They will surround your estate.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the time of lack, you will see the angels of God making warfare for your finances.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God will go home with you.
Amen.
Remember, when you get home, say to your house, peace be upon this house. And I say to you, the God of peace will dwell there.
Amen.
He will manifest himself there.
Amen.
Don't enter your house and be making noise about who left this door open. No. As soon as you get there, first words are what?
Peace
be upon this home. And I say to you again, the God of peace will dwell there.
Amen.
No, I didn't just say the peace of God. I said what?
The
God of peace, he will dwell there.
Amen.
And he will manifest himself to you.
Amen.
This coming week, as you travel, goodness will go with you.
Amen.
And protection will return with you.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
There are these things, they say, send this around, the armed robbers are killing people. Don't send such things around, you are killing faith. When you get such things, declare the word of God. That I am protected by the Almighty. He is surrounding me by himself and keeping me from all trouble. Say, my father is a God, the man of war. These are the ways you respond. And he will manifest to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If a man points a gun at you point blank, repeat it. My father is a man of war. No weapon that is fashioned against me will prosper.
Amen.
And I speak to you, it will not prosper.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The protection of God will go with you.
Amen.
Listen, life is not an accident. Your father is in charge. And I declare that the protection of God will go with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We give him praise. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now bless somebody. Bless somebody else. Now personalize it. This is my season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus. All right, cheer up, brethren.